listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 112 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by SB Live. My name's Kyle Sutherland, alongside my man, Jared Hawthorne. And I will go ahead and tell everybody, I think that the listeners that have been following us for at least the 3 years, or this is the third year now, but the going on 3 years that we've been doing this, when we get to this point in the season where it's right after basketball, everything is still right up in the air. We've seen a few things that have kind of, I guess you could say, is shocking or that we maybe didn't see coming, and that's the things that we're going to discuss, and maybe some teams that are also off to hotter starts than maybe I would have expected. But Jared, right now, we realistically don't know a whole lot. You look at Farmington basketball, the girls' basketball just won a state championship. Boys got runner up, but Reese Shirey, they've got it along with her and a couple of others. They've got some on that team. You look at Mansfield, starting with Allison Edwards. They got close to winning a state championship in basketball Saturday night, but there's Allison and multiple of their girls that are heavy contributors in softball. So my main point is a lot of teams some teams don't have their full teams until now, and many just got them back last week, aka, that's not really the proper term for that acronym. Another one would be Gravit, because they had so many for basketball. So all that rambling to say, this is probably going to be one that's not super informative just because, again, we don't know a lot. But, again, you guys have been demanding it since we did the preseason pod, so we're going to give the people what they want.
Yeah, without a doubt, we're gonna be a week or 2 weeks out from really knowing where everybody's going to stand, throughout the season, because you're getting a lot of basketball girls out. You're getting teams that are just getting the rust knocked off. To start the year, you're already seeing teams that are getting up to like their seventh or eighth games of the year and can tell they're playing better. And then other teams are just starting their first game or haven't played yet. So you're going to see a wide range of where teams are right now, through probably the next week, 10 days. And then probably coming back that week after spring break, I think you're going to really start to see who people really are, what teams are going to be. And the true colors will shine through probably starting that week after spring break.
And you're always going to have your Lamars like last year that heat up at the end. And you're going to have those teams that heat up around regional state tournament time. But you're right. It's really about the beginning of April, maybe about mid-April, that really everything comes together. And, you see that with guys in football and girls in volleyball when you go over to basketball. It's just kind of how high school sports is, especially when you get to the smaller classifications. But we'll start it in 6A as we always do. Not really a whole lot of surprises in the Central right now. We said a couple of weeks ago on that preview pod that it was going to be Cabot and Bryant, and I guess we'll say Bryant first going in alphabetical order, and the fact that they are the defending state champions. But Bryant had a really big win over Benton. Now, last year, you remember around this time, they being Bryant, they upset. Well, I guess you could call it an upset just because of the situation at that particular time. But Benton had won 67 games in a row. Then Bryant snapped that, and then they won that. I guess it's still referred to as the Big Red. Doesn't exist anymore, but I guess it's still the Big Red series. I'm not 100% sure. But nonetheless, Bryant did beat Benton 6-3. Lady Hornets just continuing to roll, but I don't really hold that one too much against Benton.
Well, looking at that game, that was looked like a really good game, tight game till about the fifth or the sixth inning. Then, Bryant put three or four more up on the board and kind of opened it up a little bit. But then Benton fought back a little, there and scored a couple, two, three runs at the last couple of innings and started making a ball game again. So, those are both two really good teams with tons of talent on both sides, lots of pitching, lots of hitting, great defense. I would have loved to have been able to go to that game and watch it firsthand, because I guarantee you that was just a battle right there.
Yeah, if I wouldn't have been at basketball, that's 100% where I would have been. We actually sent a photographer out there, Jimmy Jones, shout out, did a great job as always. Got some shots of that. So you will see on the rankings this week, you'll see a picture of Benton and Bryant, because that's the ones that we have as of right. I think I've snapped a couple of BB and Bauxite a couple of weeks ago, but – So yeah, that's where I would have been for sure. I'm going to try to make some this weekend, but I'm going to definitely, I said on the preview pod, I'm going to make some more games this year. I know obviously you're tied up on game nights coaching, but looking over at the West is really kind of in 6A where the storylines are. Now, I've been getting a lot of questions about Bentonville this week, or really over the last couple of weeks. I know you have as well. Rogers beat them. Bentonville West beat them. I mean, they have pretty much just owned the 6A West during their dynasty run of state championships they've had. But look, the reality of it is Rogers is the more experienced team right now. We knew that coming in, that they were going to be the more experienced. They were probably going to be the most experienced team coming back in the West. Bentonville West also had a good bit coming back, had a lot of youngsters last year, and they beat Bentonville. Now, Bentonville did. They beat Calvary. They're in that tournament in Louisiana right now. They beat Calvary Baptist, and I know they lost their other one. This is, of course, Sunday night as we're recording. But that's probably the most – it's not extremely shocking to me. It's just not – I mean, I talked to Ken early a good bit about it. I think Bentonville's best times is what we were just talking about a second ago. Maybe sooner, but I think their best times are probably around the mid-April range or something like that, just because, again, you got Ryan Sanders coming back and you've got Amber Turner that is now catching that had played outfield last year. There's just a lot of those girls that haven't had a lot of varsity innings, but the talent is still there.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see Bentonville drop a couple early, you know, but everybody's going to have sometimes a down game or two or even a down year, you know. I mean, when you say a down year, you know, when your expectations are to win a state championship every year, you could lose two or three games a year, and that's a down year. But they're still loaded with talent. There's no doubt about it. They're a great team. I've had several go, hey, what's up with them? I'm not going to speak too much towards anybody till about the week after spring break. And then once we've got a little bigger pool to see what's really going on, then I'll have a little better opinion on who's going to be where for the state. But I have a lot of faith in Bryant and Cabot. I said that going into the season. Those two are going to be really tough. Over on the other side, it may be a toss-up this year. I think Rogers is going to be strong. I think Bentonville West is going to be strong. You know, Harbaugh is going to be solid. You know, there's some storylines there this week with Harbaugh. But there's going to be a lot of different storylines.
And speaking of Harbaugh, I want to give a quick shout-out to Aniston Reith. Earlier today, again, we're recording Sunday night. I'm not sure if you saw this, but she committed to South Alabama. So another Division I athlete that we got going to play out of state. So congratulations to her. And as you did, yeah, so Magnet Cove, we'll talk about that game in 2A when we talk about Magnet Cove. But, yeah, they got that. I mean, man, that's – Taylor got a 6A and a 5A win. Taylor, of course, in class 1A, and then Magnet Cove got that big win over – I mean, that is probably the definite thing about this time of year that you love to see, all those great out-of-conference matchups. Gravett and Rogers had one last week. You know, Rogers talking about them. I mean, they were – it was like a 1-1 game. I told you earlier on the phone, I think it was like 1-1 through about four or five innings. And then Rogers ran away with it. But, I mean, that's kind of where we thought right now, you know, where we would possibly be. I mean, I know that the couple weeks in, you probably didn't expect Bentonville to have a few losses. Again, that's what most people – I thought they would maybe be, you know, like one or two losses at this point. So they're kind of about where I thought they'd be standing here as we – what is it, March – we're approaching mid-March, but yeah, Rogers, they're pitching. It's definitely there, just like we thought. You know, like the Harbaugh deal with Magnet Cove, you know, again, I know it's, you know, a 2A and a 5A and stuff like that. I think that that's another one that, even though they have Reith, they've got Zaria Palmer, they've got plenty of pieces there. I think Coach Austinus is definitely, when I talked to him about a month and a half ago, that was what he had said too. You know, he's taken over that program. He's back in softball for the first time in a couple of years after a legendary tenure at Farmington. So I think really though that it's, as opposed to maybe just Bentonville, I mean, there's about four teams in there, like Bentonville over the past few years, there's a few teams in there, no question, like maybe three or four right now, as opposed to just the Lady Tigers.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're even maybe four, maybe five deep over there that are all going to, you know, slug it out this year. And somebody will end up emerging the winner, but I'm not sure. I kind of got my money on Rogers a little bit. I feel like that's the best bet right now, but I wouldn't put a lot of money there yet.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no, I hear you. And then Down in Class 5A, some of the biggest news coming out this week. I want to send our best vibes that we can to Ava Carter, the Arkansas signee at Greene County Tech. She's going to be out for the year. She had surgery after an ACL tear. And so just, we see this every year. Just kind of what I was talking to David Reynolds about the other day. You know, we see this every year where kids have injuries that they're out for a season or extended amount of time. As you know, with Jaylee, she battled that back injury last year and gutted that out. But, man, it's just, it doesn't get any easier, especially, you know, a kid that she wanted one more crack. You know, it's not to say that Greene County Tech can't make a state tourney run again or state top finals run again. But for a kid that made two, that helped them get to two in a row to the state finals and not being able to do that. I mean, now she's just going to have to take that role sort of as just like, you know, not that she wasn't a team leader already. But that's definitely going to change a lot more, you know, for her. And so, again, all our best to her, but definitely a huge blow for the Lady Eagles, and that's an understatement.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I hated to hear that. And actually, you let me know that. I had not heard that. And you told me earlier, and I was blown away. I hate to hear that for any kid. We've seen it. My daughter had been hurt. Mary Lynn was hurt from Sheridan with ACL, and you know, she's finally back healthy and really rolling again. And you know, definitely prayers go up for Ava, and just get healthy and get ready to go play some college ball.
Yeah, and that's, speaking of Sheridan, Mary Lim, Skylar Starrett, I've heard multiple people throw around the word phenom with Skylar Starrett. We knew coming into last year that her speed is off the charts, and you got to have, of course, and she was a good softball player too, but that's what I kept hearing about, was her speed. Once everything else comes together, it's going to click like crazy, and she had a good freshman year, and she's off to a great year this year. Like you said, Mary Lim coming off of that injury. And you said a couple of weeks ago, and Hoffman had talked about, Coach Hoffman had talked about, this could, you know, be the deepest team that he's not ever had just at Sheridan in his third year, but probably one of the better teams that he's had in his softball coaching career. So, you know, that's South Conference with Benton, with them. I know we talked about Arkansas High some. We like some of the things we've seen from Lake Hamilton. That South is really early on here. You know, Sheridan scoring a lot of runs. They're batting pretty well. So that South Conference is probably about as deep, or it's going to be as deep as the season continues to roll along, as we thought.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. In that conference with Benton, Sheridan, Arkansas High, Whitehall. I mean, and it goes, you know, like Hamilton is not a pushover team. They're a solid team. You know, it's going to be a little insane there for, and I'll be honest with you. I don't know who I think. For me, I'm kind of favoring Sheridan right now for my favorite there. That's crazy to say considering Benton's in that conference, because Benton's a great team and they're loaded and they got great pitching and hitting, and there's so much talent there. But when I look at Sheridan, this may be the year that it kind of all comes together for them. They absolutely have the total package. They have hitting, they have defense, they have pitching. This Sheridan team is super talented, and no doubt with Skylar Starrett, she is a just absolute freak athlete. She has unreal speed. She has some of the best hands that I've seen. I've watched her play in person a few times, and she just has super quick hands. You can throw something that you think you already have it by her, and she can get her hands out and drive something over the right field wall. You know, she's one of those kids that can wait till she sees the spin on the ball, knows what the pitch is, and go with it. A lot of kids can't do that, especially against, you know, number one pitchers. They just can't see the spin in time to be able to do something with it. Well, she's one of those kids that can. She has quick hands. She has great power, great length. She's definitely going to be a game changer for Sheridan this year.
And also, I forgot to throw in Whitehall as well. Can't forget about them. We talked about them upsetting BB in the 4-1 game last year in the state tournament. So they had that slugfest with Benton the other night. So that's another young squad that we referred to, that excited to see what they do. And speaking of young squads, we want to talk about kind of been the surprise so far of Class 5A. Oh, those Maumel Hornets. So I'm going to go to their schedule real quick. They're 4-0 as of now. Again, I know the schedules right now, and I also want to point out this week, I'll probably put this in the rankings as well. I'll just be honest with you guys, between basketball and then a funeral out of town that I had to go to, I have not had the time to text coaches individually and get records confirmed. So those might be a little bit not extremely accurate, you know, on this week's rankings, but we'll get those cleaned up here quickly. But looking at Maumelle, so they beat Nashville, which again, Nashville, you know, they're still trying to get things together, but still a quality win nonetheless. 3-0 over Greenwood. I think that's probably the one that really caught my attention. We're really high on Greenwood this year. And then, again, Maumelle, they're a 5A school, but beat a really good 3A Mayflower team 2-1. So this is one, Jared, kind of like with Whitehall, you knew that they had a lot of young talent last year. Of course, with all the – they had, what, two freshman pitchers and a sophomore, I think Maumelle did. But it's a very similar case with Whitehall. A lot of that I was just talking about a second ago. A lot of young talent coming back. Maumelle, they did make the state tournament last year. I think they actually, if I'm not mistaken, they won one game where they either won the first round or they took Sheridan, I think, to the wire. I can't remember how it goes, but either way, they were really competitive last year. I think Jared White's done a great job there, and they're really seeing the fruits of their labor pay off thus far. And I think that they are due. Now, I'm not predicting, you know, a big time state tournament run or anything right now, but that is definitely one to watch there. Normally, it's kind of Bologna there in the central. I know Sylvan Hills has a lot of hype this year, but Maumelle is certainly one to watch, and they're proving that.
Yeah, I think all three of those programs you just mentioned are still going to be very strong programs, with Bologna and Sylvan Hills and with Maumelle. But Maumelle definitely looks like a very complete team this year. They've got the Keeling sisters that are both really good softball talents. You know, got a pitcher catcher combination there, and those two have played together forever. Kat has caught for Gracie for her whole life. You know, so that'll be a good combination there. Will work well together. And then looking, one thing that I thought last year is they were a little lacking on production, on run production, and this year seems to be a lot better. So they seem to be giving run support and playing good defense, and pitching well too.
And before we move down to 4A, let's touch a little bit more on the 5A East. I talked about there with, Ava Carter's injury. That's definitely, and look, Greene County Tech, they're still loaded. Let's make no mistake about it. They're still a very loaded team, but you lose a bat like Ava's she's batted plus 500. I mean, as long as I've covered her, pretty much, obviously a mainstay there in center field. But looking at the rest of the East, Valley View under Karen Sanders in year one. Now, Searcy and Marion, they've had a slow start. I'm not buying, just like you said a second ago, I'm not getting too high, not getting too low. But that East definitely could face possibly a shakeup. Like I said, I still expect Greene County Tech to be at or near the top of that conference. But with the top half that we expect when it's all said and done, and, once you really dig into conference play, you probably expect, Valley View, Marion, and Searcy. But I do think that especially that fourth spot, that third, fourth spot for the playoffs could get really interesting.
Well, and also I think it will be very interesting, but also you've got, well, now injury affecting Greene County Tech, but you've got injuries affecting three or four of those programs and even pitchers for a couple of those programs. It'll be interesting to see who gets back healthy and able to go for the rest of the year. See who comes back after spring break healthy and able. A couple kids that are banged up here and there and had, off-season injuries that are almost back and things like that. You're going to have a three- or four-way battle for sure, and it might come down to who's the healthiest coming back after spring break.
Then heading down to Class 4A, obviously we've talked a lot about Gravett, and rightfully so. They're the defending state champions. Last year they didn't lose to 4A competition at all. I'm just going to go ahead and go on a limb. Again, early season here, but looking at them play, they beat Van Buren, and that was when the basketball girls for Gravett were still playing. And also, like I said a second ago, they hung with Rogers. I really believe that this team right now, you could say, is a top three or four team overall. I've toyed with the fact, and I've talked to you about this, and I've mentioned it to Nate. We've debated, and we might bring this – it won't be this year. It might be next year. We might have to end up doing an overall rating system just for fun, too. Like maybe the top 10 teams and then the Super 7, just because I think that that would be really interesting, too. As you think about, again, like these – Magnet Cove beating Harbor, and then also too Taylor beating a 5 and a 6A school. I think that that would mix it up a little bit. It'd be a lot of fun. So that might be something that we think heavily about adding next year. But I thought last year that Gravett was no question a top 10 team overall in the state. I think I think they could possibly be top five right now. And when it's all said and done, I think we could be saying the same thing. This is another really loaded team. They lost, I believe it was three off of last year's team, but they got both their pitchers back. You got the Delaney Chilton, that's just a sophomore. She was our underclassman of the year. That 4A1, as we've talked about for over a year now, is absolutely stacked right there at the top with Gravette, Farmington, and Pea Ridge, whichever order you want to put them in. Once again, it is just like that, just completely loaded at the top. But I do wholeheartedly believe that it is not anything crazy to say that Gravette is at the worst a top five team overall in the state.
I think you're right. And I think Gravette's going to be, you know, absolutely the team to beat right now. And then in the overall, I think they're probably, you know, a 3-5 team in the entire state. Definitely. They're somewhere in that range. I'm not quite sure I'm ready to say that they're a 1 or 2 or anything like that, but they're definitely at least a 3-5 team in the overall in the state, in my opinion. You want to create some controversy, or you want to create some buzz, you start throwing that top 10 out there and a few small schools sneak up in there, you're going to have people losing their minds. But it's the truth. There's some small school teams in this state that can beat anybody in this state on any given day. And there's some programs that continuously turn out, you know, Taylor, there's no doubt, can play with almost any team in the state of Arkansas in any given year. You know, there's always going to be 1 or 2 powerhouses they might not be able to hang with in 6A or something. But I would put my money on Taylor a lot of times against most any 4, 5, 6A school. And they've proved it. You know, they went out and they played that competition. They've proved it and they've won those games more than they've lost them. And there's 3 or 4 other small school programs that are, you know, in 2, 3, and 4A that can go play with anybody in the state of Arkansas. So definitely if we do start putting out a top 10, you're going to create a lot of buzz. And most of it I think will be good, but there'll definitely be some of those that are going to lose their minds.
Yeah, no, it's just another way to really help get people tired, the water cooler talk, as they say. And that's something that we've kind of toyed with even from the beginning. But I think we might have to, if we keep having games like we saw this past weekend, or I guess this one technically as of right now, but that's going to have to happen. It's just a no-brainer at that point. But then
I'm just saying I'm all for it.
And looking past the 4A1, so – one of the games that everybody was talking about last week was Malvern just taking it to Nashville. I'm not sure if you saw the 1-4 hitters for Malvern, Jared, but they went 10-14 in this game. And then, of course, Noodle, I always want to say Kendall Watkins for whatever reason. Kendall Watson, I was making sure I was not going to get that wrong, but I also call her Noodle. She was 4-4 in that game with 2 home runs, and I believe it was 4 RBIs. Well, I don't have that. I was going from memory here. But just a big-time game. I mean, really just put everything together, did the Lady Leopards. But, again, I think that was kind of like we were talking about with Bentonville. Yes, obviously we're high on Malvern and Nashville. I think Malvern in the preseason rankings were at number 5, but we've seen that plenty of times. I think we actually saw it last year where Malvern won one game pretty handily, and then, or maybe it was vice versa the other way around, and then the next time the other won. That's what you see a lot of times, especially when multiple of these teams play each other so many times a year.
Yeah, definitely. Malvern is very talented again this year. I wasn't sure if they would have a little bit of a drop off, especially on the pitching side, but they have not dropped off a bit. And Kendall, you know, I hear a lot of people call her Noodle. I've never called her that, but she's an exceptional athlete. She can pitch, she can hit. When it comes to her hitting, I can tell you from a coach who has had to call pitches against her, you do not want to have to pitch that kid. There's just not a whole lot that you can throw that she can't hit. I mean, you can throw a high rise ball, a high ball high, and she tomahawks it over the fence. You can throw something low away, and she line drives it down the line for a double or a triple. You know, she's just one of those kids that you can't hardly get out. And she's got big, strong – I mean, she's just a big, strong kid that you just absolutely crush no matter where you throw the ball. I mean, the only thing I can give you advice-wise on that kid is – put her on base if you have an open base, because otherwise she's probably going to make you pay. She's a really talented kid and a really sweet kid too. I mean, I've met her in person, talked to her, played against her, and she's just a good kid. You know, she's a great talent, good kid. Malvern's definitely loaded. There's no doubt about it. They've got talent all over the field. It doesn't surprise me looking at the players they have, because I've played against a ton of them, or coached against a ton of them, that those kids are putting together what I think will be a pretty special season for them.
And one of the things that I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago was just talking about Boxite, and if they're, their freshman middle infield would come together and everything. I think that they're probably about what we thought they'd be right now. Again, one of the top teams in Class 4A. They've lost to, I know one of their losses was to Benton. I think the other one was to Bryant. So, no harm at all right there. And what I mean by what we thought they would be was, again, one of those top teams is what I mean by that. But that's another incredibly talented batting lineup, and that's also what Monticello has. And I know the Monticello has been a team that you and I have discussed a ton over the last 2 years. I think it was not 18 or 19 to know that they started. And one of the big differences that I'll let you get in this, because I know you know a little bit more about it than I do, but obviously we know what Elena Lyle can do. Huge bat. Great, especially now when she came off that injury after her freshman year. We know she's got a great bat. We know that when she's at her best, it's extremely hard, almost impossible to hit her. But they've also got another arm this year that's going to help them a lot. Of course, they've beefed up their schedule some. I know that last year they got out of regionals, got to the state tournament. Now that next step is to win a state tournament game and keep going. So tell us a little bit about, the other arm that they have. I know that it's not just Elena they have in the circle this year.
Oh, unless I'm missing something, I think her name's Addison Frazier. She is a really good pitcher down there that brings a ton of talent, a lot of ability, is a close match to Elena in ability. She can throw the ball with the best of, and it gives Monticello the depth that they were kind of missing before, and they have that now. And they have a murderer's row for sure on the lineup. I don't know how many home runs they've hit already. Like, I don't know, maybe 16 or 18 team home runs already. I think Elena's hit like six already. Kylie Lane can flat crush the ball, besides Elena in that lineup. And there's three or four other girls that are hitting the ball well and have several other home runs. If you just look at that top to bottom, they are a really complete team this year. And they have kind of filled in the few little holes they had. They were a really good team before. And now they have kind of filled in those few little holes they had and built a lot of depth to go with it. They're really, really talented, and they're gonna push a lot of people in 4A this year.
Then down in Class 3A, I had a couple of pitchers duels, or at least two that I wanted to point out for sure. And Jared, it's no secret, those are my kind of games, and I will take a 1-0 any day over a slugfest. And I know probably a lot of coaches would say that too, but man, Lexi Franklin, she's still really good at softball. I told Chad Simpson the other day, as I told Glenn Parrish, their SID, as I like to call them, their communications director, but she has been really lights out. Boonville's been playing real. I know that they played that tournament over the weekend in Russellville. Oh gosh, it's the Chelsea Colt. Oh gosh, I'm gonna have to look. Go ahead and say something, because I'm gonna have to look that up. Go ahead and talk for a second. We'll kill time as we. No, I'm kidding. Well, I got Atkins's thing pulled up right here. It's the. It's the Chelsea Riley Colburn. I knew her name was Chelsea Colburn, but I want to make sure and get it right. The Chelsea Riley Colburn Memorial Tournament. So had a really good lineup. Hackett was in there, Atkins, a lot of the 3A top dogs. And there was a 1-0 game. So Atkins and Boonville played in a rematch of last year's state finals, and it lived up to the billing. Of course, Libby May, she's one of the best pitchers in the state as well, going to Henderson State, I believe, is where she's signed to. And she pitched a gem, 12 strikeouts. Lexi had 9 strikeouts, but it was a home run by her name was Ketchum. Her last name was Ketchum. And going off of memory here, like I said, this will be probably the most uninformative one that we ever do, because we're still catching up on some things. But it was basically a home run that was a difference in the game. And but nonetheless, both pitchers dealt. Atkins ended up winning the tournament in that. Of course, Coach Matt Porter did want me to mention, when they did play Hackett, they didn't play against Mackenzie Freeman. She had thrown already a lot that weekend. But you had that one, and then you also – had a incredible matchup between, I know you're obviously very familiar with Abby Copine there. Probably, if she's not the most underrated pitcher in the state, she's up there, I would say. But another great matchup between two incredible arms. What was it, like 35 or it was over 30 combined strikeouts in that game. So I know that was a 3 and 4A matchup. But look, the defending state champions, you know, again, it's a long season. But overall, I thought, you know, they've just definitely got some things to clean up. You know, last year they were at 500 right around before it got to the postseason. So some really good pitching there between the defending champion and the defending runner-up, plus in that non-conference matchup between Mena and Boonville.
Yeah, that game between Mena and Boonville was absolutely the definition of a pitcher's duel. If I'm not mistaken, and it's been, I've looked at literally hundreds of games the last few days, so I could be confusing it, but I believe Abby Copeen had 19 strikeouts in an 8-inning game, and Lexi Franklin had 18 in an 8-inning game, and Boonville got the win, I believe, 1-0. But yeah, just two pitchers just going out there and slugging it out, just striking a kid after kid after kid out. And, you know, sometimes one base hit or one walk or one hit batter or, you know, one fumble ball is the difference in a ball game. And I think that one was one base hit was the difference in a ball game, you know, and just a great game by both those pitchers. You're absolutely right about Abby Copeen. She is an incredible talent that is not talked about nearly enough. She's a really good ball player. She's gotten some really good offers here lately. I've seen some college coaches are really starting to take notice. Definitely, you know, she's played for me in the past. I can't say enough good things about her. I would definitely place her and a couple others probably as some of our most underrated pitchers in the state of Arkansas. And we'll cover some of them others later on. But definitely, she's a great kid, just great talent. Of course, obviously, Lexi Franklin is just an unreal talent. She has put up crazy strikeout numbers for, you know, years now, and definitely going to end up as one of the top pitchers in the state of Arkansas all the time in strikeouts. The games in the tournament this weekend, without a doubt, there was some great talent in that tournament. You had Lincoln, Woodlawn, Atkins, Boonville, Hackett. I mean, there was a ton of really talented teams there and really talented pitchers. So, and you saw a lot of games played in 1 or 2 days there. You know, some of those teams were playing 4 and 5 times in a day. So you're going to really find out if teams have any depth or not playing that much in a day. So I don't like high school tournaments for the fact that I feel like kids get hurt more than normal because they're playing fatigued and things like that. But you get to see a lot of good softball.
Yeah. Well, and that was some good softball that we – this is a team that I'm about to mention that has kind of been discussed. I know that I featured them a couple of times in the notebook last year whenever – and that's DeWitt. I'll go ahead and talk about them. But I've heard a lot of good things about from coaches on them. And I do want to point out before I go into them, I looked at their first game. It was a 9-1 loss to Star City. Star City – is one that I actually meant to mention, and we'll probably talk more about them next week, but I do want to touch on them real quick. That's kind of one I'm keeping an eye on. They've played a brutal schedule thus far, at least brutal from the what we thought teams were going to be coming in, because they beat DeWitt, they've lost to Bauxite in Nashville, beat Malvern 19-6, beat Taylor 5-4, and then lost to Monticello 3-0. So really tough slate there for Star City. Going to keep an eye on them. I definitely wanted to make sure and give them their due props, but we will, I promise you, talk a little bit more in depth about them at some point. But for now, I do want to talk about the DeWitt Lady, or not the Lady Dragons, the Dragonettes. So AC Cox, really, it starts with them, the junior infielder. I've heard just incredible things. I've seen incredible things about her, just or seen great things from her in DeWitt. Heard a lot of great things about her on the travel ball scene as well. I mean, she's someone we've obviously followed since her freshman year. But they've got a really good sophomore class. It's basically the majority of their team is freshmen and sophomores. Got a lot of 26s and 27s. Talking to their coach last week. So I talked to Scott Hoffman. You know, Sheridan had played them earlier in the year, and he absolutely raved about them. It was a 5-2 win for Sheridan, but it was really close there for the most part. And then kind of, I think it was maybe about the fifth or so inning that Sheridan really kind of ran away with it. If you could call, you know, three runs running away with it, but they beat Searcy, the 5A school, 4-3, beat Morrilton 7-6, a 4A school. So Those Lady Dragons in a very, very deep 3A class. That could be one again that if we don't see it now, that possibly at the back end of the season in 3A, 8 play, they could really get on a roll.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about them outside of Cox, but I've heard probably more about them early this year than I heard about them all the last 2 years combined. So they're definitely creating some buzz. They're playing some tough teams and competing and winning a couple of good tough games. I really think, from what I can tell, it sounds like it's a lot of good young talent. You combine that with a little bit of the experience they had that, you know, that was already there. They're going to be a good ball team, and I'm going to dig into them a little bit more this next week to try to find out and get to know a few more of those players. You know, they're a little bit outside of my part of the state, so I got to do a little research on them. But I've heard about AC Cox, you know, for a while now, and she's a great player. But I'm going to start doing a little research on the rest of them. They're definitely earning a little bit of buzz from coaches all over. I'm hearing it. I probably heard 7 or 8 different conversations now talking about how they're so much better this year.
And the 3A5, as we know, always brutal every single year. There were 4 of those teams in our preseason Super 7. So that includes Atkins, Mayflower, Baptist Prep, Lamar, that conference there. That's just, again, every single year completely loaded. I was talking to Tim Yelvington, the head coach at Baptist Prep, and he loves to joke with me, and he always messes with me about not ranking them and all that. And they lose to Bryant. And he texts me the next day and says, "I told you not to rank us." I'm like, "Dude, you just lost to the heavyweight champions." And the only 2 losses that they have is Bryant and Cabot. So the defending 6A runner-up and the defending 6A – or the defending 6A champion and the defending 6A runner-up. So I say that to say that Baptist Prep, I think when it's all said and done, that they're going to be again. Like last year, that was considered, I guess, a down year for them. They really turned it on there at the end. But look, you've got, which Midkiff sister? Kayla Midkiff, I think. Yeah, Kayla Midkiff is the younger one. You got her as your number one pitcher. You got Macy Childers, which we've already raved about her, and there she's got all kinds of potential as a freshman there. But Coach Yelvington told me I don't think that he meant to tell me this, because like I said, he always wants to kind of lead me the other way. I say that in a joking manner. We have a great relationship. But I really believe that this could be, because he told me that he was looking at his roster before the year, and he's like, "Okay, I think we might have something here." So as loaded as, you know, Atkins has kind of been the team that's been there at the end. Lamar was there in the semifinals last year, like I was talking about. I think we were talking about a little before we started recording. But, you know, I think with how good Mayflower's been, with how good Atkins has been, with how good Lamar's been, I think Baptist Prep has kind of taken a back seat at times, and that is really a bad mistake for anybody to overlook them, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, definitely. Baptist Prep looks like they have reloaded. Instead of rebuilt, they've reloaded. And they look really strong early this year. Atkins, without a doubt, I was looking at that, and I think Atkins won that tournament this weekend, and they beat some really good teams on the way to doing that. I think Atkins is about as complete a team as they've ever been this year. So they're definitely going to be right there in those top 2 to 4, without a doubt. Mayflower has been a little bit, and maybe just a little bit off, but I think that they are just now really getting everybody back and getting everybody like pointed in the right direction. I fully expect Mayflower to be a power. And then Lamar, you know, kind of an upstart from last year and jumped in there. This year, I think Lamar has that little bit of experience edge that they needed to go with the talent they had. Outside of those 4, there's still a lot of talent, but those 4 right there kind of stand out to me too as what maybe, you know, the class that we got to watch to really just, I think one of those 4 is going to be who makes that deep run.
You mentioned a second ago about playing a lot of games and tournaments, you know, in the not preseason, but the early season. I've going down to 2A here. I look at Woodlawn. They didn't play their first game until Saturday, and they have is this right? They've already played 7 games. Unless, man, this is crazy, because what I'm seeing here, March 9th. So that was yesterday as of the time that we're recording. So they, you know, they got out of basketball. They, the Woodlawn, I believe the girls went to the state tournament, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, Lily Faye McWhorter was on that team. And so they, that's another one, just talking about Mayflower a second ago, got their full team back. That's kind of the same position that Woodlawn's in. And obviously, Lily Faye McWhorter, huge part of what they've done over the past 2 years. But already, you know, in those, in the seven games that they've played, or at least the seven games I have on the schedule, that features a win over Dardanelle, Wonderview, Clarksville, also Boonville, 5-2, and then Paris, 15-1, and then they've got two losses to Lincoln, a 1-0 loss, and then a 7-4 loss. So kind of the same, you know, that's what the talk has been with Woodlawn. Look, they've been probably, I would say easily, it's not even close, the best team in Class 2A over the past couple of years that hasn't been able to make it out of the first round of the state tournament. Now, again, I know last year they made it out, but they had a bye week and everything. So now it's just about, you know, we know what they can do in the regular season. They have continued to beef up their schedule. But again, anytime you've got Lily Faye McWhorter, who is pretty much right on the verge of touching 70 based on what I saw earlier, man, she's due for the Arkansas commit. She is probably likely due for another special year, and it could mean much more for them. And I know the postseason is a long ways away, but that is obviously, you know, at the end of the day, that's looking way ahead here. That is certainly the goal.
Yeah. So that first game, I think it was the first game against Lincoln, you had Brinkley Morton on the mound for Lincoln, and you had Lily Faye on the mound, or in the circle, I should say, in the circle for Woodlawn. How often do you see two SEC commits going toe-to-toe against each other in a high school game in Arkansas?
In 2A. Well, 2 and 3A, yeah.
Yeah, 2 and 3. I mean, that is a lot of talent. Both those kids are unreal talented. They're just great kids, great talent. Both going to do amazing things at the college level. But that, I'm sure that was a lot of fun to watch. Just go out there and watch two kids throwing well into the 60s with all kinds of ability and spin and everything else. Definitely Woodlawn. I think I saw that they play. Did they play six or seven, something like that, yesterday?
Seven, what I see here.
Yeah. So if that's right, that's unreal to play seven in a day. I do know. I had a brief text conversation with Lily Faye's dad earlier, and I asked him for a few stats. You know, and I know she pitched 9 innings yesterday and had 23 strikeouts.
Yeah.
So.
I saw Maley posted that. Yeah, that's
definitely
just coming in. Yeah, just coming in off of basketball and then doing her thing. That's what she does. Yeah, yeah.
And then she hit a home run.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's a very talented kid, great kid. And coming from a guy who has sat on a bucket and caught that kid at travel ball tournament before, I have no doubt that she's going to be touching 70 if she's not already. And I know several people that are very experienced that think she's going to end up, you know, in that 72 to 74 range before it's said and done. And she has the length and the frame and all the things to make that happen. You know, she's just a very talented kid. On the flip side of that conversation, though, Brinkley Morton is, man, absolutely one of the best players I've seen in high school in Arkansas. And I know we were down to in 2A for a minute, but since we mentioned that game, she is so very talented with a bat and in the circle that, you know, those are definitely going to be two of the best ever to come out of the state of Arkansas.
Yeah, no question. And back to what we had referenced earlier, the Magnet Cove and Harbor game. So Magnet Cove won that game 8-6. If you're watching video, excuse me, I'm reading my phone right now. But so Maddie Fulmer in that game, she went 6 innings, struck out 5. And then Aniston Reith that I mentioned earlier, the newly, of course, Maddie is a reclassified 25-24 going to Henderson State. And then Aniston Reith, just the 25 that is recently committed to South Alabama, she pitched all 6 and then went 12. So I guess, was that one of those, if it was 6, that was probably a tournament that I would imagine. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Never mind. It's 7. I was reading it wrong. Okay. I was thinking that if they went 6 games, it was one of those tournaments that they have the limits on, but it was 7. I apologize for that. So Maddie Fulmer, Aniston Reith, you know, we knew Maddie coming in from, that was just a massive boost with pairing with Bella Harville there. Both of them are going to play college softball, of course. You knew that was going to be a massive boost. That was one of the reasons why we picked Magnet Cove as high as we did, because I brought her in and a couple other transfers and everything. But I mean, what can you say about that? We'll talk about Taylor, what they did in 5 and 6A, But to come out that, I mean, to make a statement like that against what I think is going to be, it already is, but we'll just even continue to get better, Harbor team. What a way to make a statement here and as we approach mid-March.
Well, I told you in the preview show that Magnet Cove had so much talent. I mean, it scares me to death because we're in the same conference with them. I mean, we got to go. Well, actually, they come to us, so that'll be a small fraction of a little shining light in that matchup. But, I mean, they're coming to our place in conference. Magnet Cove is so very loaded. Everywhere you look on their field, they've got talent. You know, they've got of course, Maddie Fulmer and Bella Harville. We'll talk about them all year long. Those two are going to be special. A great 1-2, maybe the best 1-2 in the state of Arkansas. You got a great player in Kinsley Brashears. I think it's Hadley Harrington, one of the Harrington girls, and mm-hmm. I think her little sister is coming up, you know, as a freshman this year. That's going to probably be another great ball player. Everywhere you look, Magnet Cove has got talent. Like, they've got talent. Two people deep or more at every position. They just don't have any fall off. Even if they're one of those teams that even if they had an injury here, they're just going to absorb it and move forward because they're so loaded and so deep. But definitely, Magnet scares me to death playing in our conference. But looking at them in the overall for 2A, I think Magnet's at least a top three team. That'll take a little time to prove out, but I really think when it comes to 2A, they're going to be a top three team and maybe have as good a shot as anybody to win the whole thing.
And the biggest question right now, I don't think it's a question. It's really about, is Mansfield going to take, just because they got a lot coming back, you know, as far as like they got Allison Edwards, both of the Kaylee and Kinsley Ward, all three of those girls, of course, were their trio on the basketball team that just came up short against Mount Vernon and NOLA the other night. But that's the one right now, because they haven't played a game yet. They just now, as of Monday, will get their team back practicing. So that's the thing with them, is I think last year they lost a couple early, again, when they got their basketball girls coming in, because they had made a run to the Final Four last year. But then until I think it was 24 straight that they won before they lost to Riverside in that 1-0 game in the state finals. So that's really the one right now. It's like, okay, we got this team ranked number 2 preseason. They haven't even played a game yet, but you imagine that they're certainly going to be right there at the end, no question. But Riverside, the defending state champs, definitely can't forget to mention them. You know, they're 4-0 as of right now. Looking at their schedule, Rivercrest, Bay, Marion, and Buffalo Island Central, you know, they're playing team. You know, Rivercrest, I know, is a 3A, I think they're 3A in everything but football. Of course, they're moving up in football as well too. But the Marion win, I know Marion's struggling some right now, but 12-2, certainly can't shake a stick at that. But that's another one, Jared. Riverside, you think about Claire Womack and some of those girls, they just got their full team back too recently because they made it all the way to the semifinals. So you notice a trend here that we're talking about that much more in the smaller classifications that we get, the smaller the classification that we get to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, without a doubt, for me right now, Riverside, Mansfield are really going to be right back up there, probably top three teams again, possibly even playing for state championships again. Magnet Cove, we mentioned a minute ago, I think is going to be right there with them. Woodlawn with Lily Faye, I really feel like is going to make a deep run this year. Could be right in that mix. There's just a lot of talent right there. And I would be surprised if one of those four teams doesn't win it this year. I just feel like one of those four teams may be the team that gets it done this year. And obviously last year, Mansfield and Riverside were right there, you know, playing for the state championship. So I do believe there's a good possibility it could be a matchup with them, but Woodlawn and Magnet Cove may sneak in there because they got some great pitching.
Yeah, and also, too, I'm really interested to see what East Poinsett County does. They have that loss to Brookland this year. Brandon Powell, I mean, he has made a career as a – obviously the Warriors head football coach as well. But he's made a career out of taking pictures at when they are freshmen and then getting them all the way through. Now, was it Megan Henry? I can't remember her last name. But the girl that was before Keegan McCorkle – She didn't get to play her senior year because of COVID, and Keegan didn't get to play her freshman year because of COVID. So he had both of them for 3 years. They set state records, were absolutely lights out. Now with Kylie Henderson, got a chance to be that next one up. And that's who he's expecting to, you know, assuming that she stays healthy and all that good stuff. That's who's expecting to get the majority of the innings for them. But East Poinsett County definitely been a mainstay. I know Mansfield handled him in the semis last year, and they went to the state finals a couple years prior. But another one that has kind of been consistent there in Class 2A.
Yeah, definitely. EPC has always has a good – they have a good program. They have a lot of talent. The question was going to be kind of where they stood after Keegan McCorkle. Well, obviously, now they've got another arm in there, and you can put a good arm in with a good program, and they're going to be right in the mix. I'm going to be honest with you. I mentioned our conference a little bit ago about Magnet Cove, and normally I don't talk a ton about our conference because usually it's kind of just Magnet Cove, and there's not a lot after that, or like last year, Magnet Cove and CEC and, you know, that kind of thing. But in our conference, there's probably more depth this year than I've seen in a long time. Poen is going to be greatly improved. They have a lot of young, talented players, a group of freshmen that really bring their program up a lot. And I believe Bigelow is going to be a good, strong program. And then, obviously, I'm going to do my best to always brag on our girls at Cutter Morning Star, but we've got a 5-0 start, got a good pitcher in the circle. I mean, I can't remember that kid's name, but she's a pretty solid pitcher. You know, she's already got 57 strikeouts on the year. You know, she's playing as well, and she's healthy now. Our team is playing well. We're playing good defense. We've got a better lineup than we've ever had. But our whole conference is an overall. We definitely, I think, are going to be one of the deeper 2A conferences this year when you start looking down that list. And you can't rule CEC out. They still got a ton of talent there. Conway Christian last year was really strong. They could be in the mix too. I mean, the top six or so of our conference is probably going to be as deep an overall conference as you see anywhere in 2A.
And last but not least, in Class 1A, already mentioned it a couple of times, but just got to continue to give our props to the we never talked about Taylor a whole lot, I don't think, throughout this show or in any publications over the past couple of years, but the six-time defending state champions, as expected, they're doing their thing once again. My boy Kevin Bohannon, who obviously does the baseball side of things, he mentioned something that I've kind of thought about for a while, but I've just never really said it, but the any place, anywhere, anytime mentality. Until really this weekend, it never came up a ton, but that just softball, baseball, it really doesn't matter. That's what Taylor embodies, and I wrote about that last year in that big feature that I did, but they take down a really good Conway squad. I mean, I think that, you know, Conway, I'm not projecting them to be a contender in Class 6A or anything like that, but still, it's a 6A against a 1A, and then you beat a really good BB team that we've got ranked that we're in the preseason rankings that you always – I mean, BB's always going to be one of those teams that you know is pretty much a shoe-in for the state tournament. That's what it's all about, is getting to the state tournament, not really – you know, I know that they – the past 2 years especially have been disappointing finishes, but huge wins there for the Lady Tigers. Their only losses thus far are to Star City and to Bryant, the defending 6A champion. So, again, talking about once again, low. That's what Coach Camp did. That's what Coach Milliken did before him, the one that really built this softball program, and Courtney McHenry has continued to do that. And it's a huge – it's not the only reason, but it is a huge reason why they are in the state finals every year, and they're going for a seventh consecutive this season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They're loaded with talent. They got a – the word program can't be stressed, you know, any more than when you talk about Taylor. They have a softball program. They have built a machine, and the machine keeps churning. And they, you know, you've heard me brag about Ayla Buford and Madison Lindsay and Heidi May and all those girls. You know, they've got a great number two arm, you know, and they're just really, really, they're just a special group down there. And how serious they take softball, and, you know, kind of the whole world revolves around baseball and softball and Taylor. Well, and now they're adding basketball and volleyball because they're becoming so dominant in those things too. But, you know, the whole world down there, is their eyes are on it, you know, and there's a lot of pressure on those players down there, but they've continued to step up and just they've been able to handle that pressure. They've shouldered that burden, and they just continue to impress people. That first day out of the gate, they just got out of basketball the night before, or 2 nights before. And the first thing that morning, they lost a close one to Star City, which is a very talented Star City team. They had to kind of shake a little rust off, turn around, and they had to play, you know, Bryant. And Bryant's, without a doubt, you know, either number one or number two in the state overall. You know, just a great program, and they played them tough. You know, and that's their second game of the day already, or I think they played them second after Star City. And then they turn around and beat a strong Lake Hamilton team, 5A Lake Hamilton team. You know, they are loaded with talent. They are. They're going to just hammer a lot of people when it comes to 1A. And it's going to be up to some other schools to figure out how to step up and beat the machine. But Taylor's a great program with a lot of talent and a lot of really great character kids too.
Well, and I think Heidi May, you mentioned that was one of the names you mentioned. She was out with the injury last year. I think that could probably be the X factor for them. And I you know, X factor, I know, is kind of someone that you don't really know about, that's kind of up and coming possibly. But since she's coming off that injury, that's why I say that. I mean, she had a big basketball season. I know I mentioned her at least probably three or four times in the last month of the season. For she had a quadruple double, I think two triple doubles, had a really, really good year in the basketball girls. Of course, ran into Mammoth Spring for the second straight year, the two-time defending state champions. But, yeah, I mean, they lost Maggie McHenry at first. Huge bat there, no question. But yeah, I mean, that's the only one that they did lose. And I almost feel, talk about the pressure. I was talking to Brent McHenry, the assistant coach, and Courtney's husband after the state final game last year with Bradley. And, you know, that was kind of, you know, it was obviously all in good fun. He's like, man, you know, you guys put a lot of pressure on us. We did it again, all this stuff. And I was kind of like, man, I almost feel like they feed off of that now. Like, they like the pressure. And I don't even know – I'm not going to say there's not any, because there always is when, you know, you're a defending state champion, or in their case, a six-time champion. Those girls, they just go out there and play, man. Like I said, they don't care who the opponent is. They don't care if they're 6A or 200A. It doesn't really matter. They know what they can do. And it's just like, that's what they do. That's what they do down in Taylor's. They just play ball growing up. And I mean, it almost seems like you're born with a bat and a glove in your hand.
Well, those girls, I mean, I know two or three or four of them, you know, personally, and obviously, you know, Ayla plays for me in travel ball now. But just knowing their character and knowing their work ethic. I mean, those girls get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go work out. How many high school girls do you know that get up at 5 o'clock every morning and go work out? Like, they do, they're not told to do it. It's not mandatory. Those girls on their own, they go work out at 5 in the morning, they lift and they work, and it's team wide. You know, they just have a desire to be great, you know, to play at another level. And there's some other kids in the state that do that. Don't get me wrong. But you rarely see whole teams that are just bought in and believe in a system and believe in a program. And, it, you know, everybody's like, oh, y'all talk about Taylor, y'all talk about Taylor. Well, here's the deal. Taylor has earned that talk. And
you demand coverage when you're a six-time state champion.
Yeah, you continue to earn that because you continue to just produce those high results. So when somebody else starts putting out those kind of results, I promise you, they'll get the same kind of coverage.
Yeah. So, well, and the one closest to doing that last year was their arch rival. And I guess, what do you call it? Their district mate, I guess. Yeah. You could call it the Emerson Bradley Taylor School District, or what. I'm sorry if I got the order wrong, but either way, the team that's their rival that is right next to them, there's been a lot of questions about Bradley because, you know, Ainsley Moore's been out. I did talk to Clifford, her father, last week, and she is on pace to come back in about 2 weeks-ish. It's still, she apparently everything's going to plan is what I gathered. So she should be back here maybe after spring break or around that time is what it's looking like. So definitely the best to Ainsley and her continued recovery. But, you know, Bradley's fared pretty – they played a pretty tough schedule to start off. I know let me go back to this. I actually had it pulled up a second ago, but I know that they have played a couple of out-of-state schools, and let me go to this here. So, okay, so yeah, as of this, they're 2-2. Of course, one of those losses was to Mena. I knew it was a 4A school. I couldn't remember who it was. So they lost to Mena, lost to Atlanta, Texas, but they also beat Spring Hill and Hainesville, Louisiana. And then it looks like on Monday, so today, if you're listening to this, they are playing North Webster, which I believe is another Louisiana team. So I think that Bradley's kind of looking at this, Jared, not to speak for them, but especially considering right now, you know, it's again, and not to say that it doesn't matter, but but as far as playoff seedings and stuff like that, the games that they're playing now, they do have a conference game with Hermitage on Tuesday. That'll be their conference opener, but they don't play another game again until Lafayette County on March 25th. So that's possibly when Ainslie could be back. Again, I'm not her doctor. I don't know, but what I'm getting at is I think that they could possibly be looking at this as well. Yes, it's not ideal not having Ainslie, but this gives another girl another chance to get more innings, which you have one pitcher, as we see with Ayla Buford, as we see with Ainslie Moore, Hunter Hutto at Shirley, Haley Krotz at Viola. You have one really solid pitcher in 1A. You're going to be in good shape. But, I mean, I don't really know a whole lot about what Bradley has behind Ainslie, but you got to think that these are really, really valuable innings for some of these younger kids.
Yeah, definitely. The chance that somebody else has to throw some innings and to build a number two behind Ainslie, they have that chance right now in these first four, five, six games. And then when you do, you know, if you build a little bit of quality and some reps in there, you get Ainslie back. That just makes you that much more dangerous. And I'll tell you, that's one thing I mentioned, that Taylor has a number two. You know, Aniston Nolte is becoming a very strong arm behind Ayla Buford at Taylor. So they're creating a really good 1-2 punch over there. And that allowed them to stay in some of those games when they played in those tournaments, you know, played two and three a day, is being able to have someone to go to besides Ayla. And Aniston Nolte is another one that she's turning into a very strong pitcher. So Bradley and Taylor both, I think, are going to be right there, right back in the mix when we get deeper into the year.
And 1A right now, that's one of those kind of at the top of the show when I had talked about some of the stuff that we really don't know, other than Taylor just being dominant again, that we haven't really found out much. You know, I feel like Shirley's kind of done what they're supposed to do. Viola has done what they're supposed to do. Midland, another one I did mention. Of course, can't forget about Danica Brown, the ace that they have. I think she's going to ASU Newport, if I'm not mistaken, but I know she's going to play college ball. And so you got her there. Wonderview got off to an 0-3 start. They played in that tournament in Russellville. And so the Colburn tournament in Russellville, that's one that, again, you know, you lose somebody that I'm not really too concerned with Wonderview right now. Again, you lose somebody like Lydia Polk, it's going to take some time to really get adjusted there in the circle. I mean, over 650 strikeouts in her career, maybe around the 700 mark actually, but that's the thing too, really about, I think the only thing that I feel for certain, especially with Ainslie Moore still not playing, I think the only thing I'm for certain about right now in 1A is that Taylor is just, they're those girls, instead of those dudes, as we say on the boys' side, they are just those girls right now. They're once again for the, what appears to be possibly the seventh consecutive year.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned her a while ago. One that definitely I think is very underrated. We were talking about underrated pitchers. I think Haley Krotz is one of the more underrated pitchers in the state of Arkansas. She is a great talent, and she does a lot of good things up there at Viola. But she is definitely one of the ones in 1A that we talked about. That if they can put a little bit of defense and hitting with her, and she can continue to throw at the level that she's been throwing at, they got a chance to be a little bit special this year too.
And we've got some more games this week. I know next week one of the ones that a lot of eyes will be on is the Harrison tournament up there in North Arkansas. That's, I know Bentonville is featured. Actually, you know what? I think I've actually got that. Somebody sent it to me. There's a player that sent it to me earlier, which I very much appreciate. So some people call it the Harrison tournament. Some people call it the Ozark softball classic. There's all kinds of different names for it, but that field features Harrison. So the first round games will be Harrison, Paragould, Cabot, and then Warsaw, Missouri. That's on one side of the bracket. And the other side will be Dover, Elkins, and then Bentonville and Malvern. So that's an interesting one there. I don't think Bentonville's ever played in that one before. So they're going to be them and Cabot will be the lone 6A schools in that one. So that's one that I'm actually considering going up to that area this week. And maybe, because I know that I think I was talking to you, Jared. I'm pretty sure Gravitt's got something that they're working on. I think there's multiple tournaments in Northwest Arkansas. I'll have to get caught up on that. Of course, I'm still trying to finish up basketball and all that good stuff. But nonetheless, this is when we finally start the breakout coverage for both softball and baseball. We're going to have – I'm not sure if we're going to do the notebook this week or start it next. But, of course, we'll have the rankings this week, obviously the podcast. So, yeah, from here on until the end of May, when we have the weekend of champions at University of Central Arkansas, it is blowout coverage from here on out. So be sure and check out scorebooklive.com/Arkansas, and you can find all of that. Jared, if, unless you got something else, we'll go ahead and close this one out.
Just a couple quick shout-outs. Some pitchers I know passed some milestones this week. Ayla Buford passed 300 career strikeouts. Last week, Jaylee Hawthorne passed 400 career strikeouts. Emery Boland passed 500 career strikeouts. And I feel like I'm missing one more. I saw some on Facebook this week. I'll try
those
to catch
are the ones I know off the top of my head.
Yeah, and I'll try to catch some more of the other ones that passed some milestones later. But awesome. Some very talented pitchers that have passed some milestones in the last week or so. And I know of several others that are going to be passing some big milestones in the next week, 10 days. So we'll have some more coming up that are going to be putting up some big, like 500 and 600 and 700 strikeouts. So definitely some of those that are really working to hone their craft, and they deserve a little praise. So
no doubt. Yeah. And I think, so Lexi Franklin, we're talking about her earlier. I'm pretty sure she's over 800 now. So the quest for 1,000, well, quest for 900 technically, but I mean, now that we're past 750 and on into the 800s, that's going to be interesting to see if she can get to there to 1,000. Of course, I'm sure all she wants is another state championship, but individually, man, what a milestone that would be, 1,000. So yeah, appreciate you pointing those out, but all right. Well, that will get it. Or no, I'm sorry, we're saying something else.
I said, that's all I got. Looking
all right. Well, that'll work. Well, be sure, like I said, scorebooklive.com/Arkansas, where you can check out the podcast will be on there. Of course, also, if you prefer the audio version, it will be on Spotify. I know that's how a lot of people like to, again, if you're, you know, on the way to a game or coaches out there painting the fields or whatever the case may be, you can just throw your earbuds in and catch us on there. So that will do it for episode 112 of Arkansas Prep Extra. Again, thank you all so much for the support. Could not do it without you. For Jared Hawthorne and all of us here at SB Live, my name's Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next week.